This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Lego.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Broncos look like they may pressure this a bit.
They block it. The ball's bouncing around.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Intercepted. Dondre Tillman on the rebound.
And that is a Denver touchdown. Troy Franklin.
My answer were to you, I'm comfortable. That'd be silly.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. MLB insider Jeff Passan. Still to come, actor Woody Harrelson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. ESPN Radio by Progressive Insurance is how it's presented. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, whether you're watching us on Disney Plus, ESPN, or listening to us on ESPN Radio and all that sort of stuff. It's hour number 3. Woody Harrelson's going to join us in about 20 minutes' time. Your phone calls, we'll get to them in just a split second. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero in hour 1 giving us the skinny on what went down in trade deadline week, certainly with how the Colts wound up with Sauce Gardner. And if you missed any of that, there was a bunch of stuff I hadn't heard yet. That's also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Jeff Passan, great baseball chat, just reminiscing about the World Series and what the next steps are in Major League Baseball. For teams to either try and catch the Dodgers or the Dodgers to win their 3rd in a row. Again, that's available through our YouTube channel. If you missed any of it, also you can watch all 3 hours whenever you want over the weekend on our Disney Plus page. And there's also our podcast, all 3 hours, however you get your podcast. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm going to give you my top 5 other matchups in week number 10 before Woody Harrelson joins us for the first time ever on this program. Ben in California, you'd like to chime in. What's up, Ben?
Ben.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for having me on. I've been a Raiders fan for my whole life, 19 years, and I did not like what I saw last night. I saw a Raiders team that saw what we did last week against the Jaguars, and we said, we're not going to do any of that again. We're going to get 3 targets to Brock Bowers, which I don't know how that number is not in the double digits at least. And I'm starting to not believe in Pete Carroll. I bought in to what he was saying. He had the resume to back it up, but the performance that's been on the field has not given me great confidence in the Raiders.
Well, I think the issue is, again, Ben, it's a quarterback-driven league, and it's a team effort as well. There was a brutal moment last night where Geno took a sack, and you could see he was barking at Raheem Mostert, who totally whiffed on the pass protection, and it didn't look good for Geno. The interception that Geno threw to give him now 12 on the season, that is the most in the National Football League, and you go online and you see on threads, at least I did, that Hayes now leads the league in interceptions. The ball went right off Ashton Gentry's hands. That's not on Geno's ledger either. That said, it's clear that the plan coming in to calm the waters of who's the quarterback here, and they didn't go and get one in the draft. They didn't go and get Jackson Dart because it was too high maybe to take him, or they didn't come back into the first round to get Jackson Dart if that's who they wanted. And there was a lot of rumors about Shador, who still hasn't started a game yet, and the Browns keep on sinking, and it looks like they're still not going to him. That eventually at the end of the day, the Geno Smith acquisition that seemed smart and seemed like you now have a veteran hand here that's not going to turn the ball over, that's going to play the game exactly the way that Pete wants it, since he did so for Pete in Seattle as a comeback player of the year. That guy hasn't shown up, Ben. And at the end of the day, it didn't help that Brock Bowers was out between weeks 2 and 9. And it did not help that defensively there's not much else there, at least weeks 1 through 9 until week 10 showed up to help Max Crosby. And it still is, in my estimation, I am biased when it comes to Pete. I love the guy, and he hasn't forgotten how to coach or motivate. Last night, I saw a team that hadn't backed up a U-Haul at all. I didn't see it. As a matter of fact, they balled out. And at the end of the day, they just could not protect Geno Smith. And that's something that any team is going to look like garbage if you can't protect a quarterback who also has trouble protecting the football himself. So
the one problem I have with that, Rich, is that we have two rookies that we took in the third round to be offensive linemen, and we're putting in Alex Kappa, who he's the reason Geno was getting hit because the inside of the line was not protecting Geno. And then we have Charles Grant, and we have someone else who I can't remember, but we have rookies. So if we're down on talent, why not we at least put some rookies in and see what they got?
Because they're not ready, and you don't want to get Geno hurt then. You know, and he did wind up, and thank you for the call. Call back, please. You know, he did wind up getting hurt. And there was also a moment where Zach Allen took him down late and took him down not only late, but slid right down his legs and tackled him by his shins. And it wasn't called. And pretty much every other penalty under the sun was being called last night.
That one looked bad. I mean,
we saw a ton of Bill Vinovich, but that's not the one that got him hurt.
No.
It was the one where he was escaping the pocket. Mm-hmm. And it looked like, I thought Cooper was just like, I thought he maybe got the wind knocked out of him because he landed on the football. But he goes in the blue tent, comes back out, and Pete was asked why he went back to Geno when it was clear that he was not healthy.
He wanted to go back in the worst way. He wanted to finish the game for his teammates. And he got whacked in the quad. He got a quad bruise or something, contusion, whatever it is. He got smacked, you know, and that's just him fighting. And, yeah, go back out. You know what I mean? You know, who knows? Who knows, you know? And it's not because of Kenny. It had nothing to do with that. It's just about just competing and battling. He had a couple plays, and then you know, he would not have been able to answer the next time out. He wasn't going back. But he tried.
And at the end of the day, you know, the Raiders now sitting here at 2-7. I think it's apparent the quarterback of the future is not on the roster. And who is that guy? Great question. And that 2-7 at the end of the day, you know, smart plan I thought it was to acquire Geno. It just hasn't worked out, man. And you also don't have the receiving core that's to the fore, right? Whatever was going on with Jacoby Myers, they felt that he had to go. They weren't going to pay him long term.
He's been asking.
Right, I know that.
For months.
I mean, Trey Tucker's had a couple of good games.
Yeah, Dante Thornton didn't break out like he did in the preseason, and people had thought, Brock Bowers only having one catch is unacceptable.
Last night was just weird. Just from the beginning, it was just, like I said, a fever dream. 24-mile, 25-mile-an-hour winds. Nobody could complete a pass. It just...
Yeah,
I don't know.
But did you see at the beginning of the game, they showed the ref putting the ball on the ground, and you could just see his pant legs just blowing in the breeze.
Well, and then the football had to be replaced multiple times.
Rolled away, yep.
There's a lot of ifs and buts, but the bottom line is you are what you are, and they're 2-7, and the Raiders are now next up, home for Dallas on a Monday night, home for Cleveland, up the road here against the Chargers. And then another game against Denver before they visit Philly and Houston, home for the Giants, and then Kansas City. These are it could be a top 10 pick again. So they'll have an opportunity to get the next quarterback if there is one in the draft, because I don't think they can run it back with Geno again. It just doesn't, unless you can turn it around. Still a lot of time left here.
Oh, nothing fixes your ails like the Cowboys defense.
It could clearly he just loves Geno. He loves him and believes in him and wouldn't even take him out. There was at one point where it looked like Pickett was going back in, and Geno ran out of the blue tent for a second time, limping out there. It looked like Osweiler and Manning in Denver.
It's like, oh.
Right? Just, oh, okay, go back out there again. I saw that. I thought of that moment.
Yeah, me too.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. The rest of week 10. This is a good one. This is a really good rest of week 10. Top five matchups of week 10 presented by Hyundai.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go. Six division games, four games between two opponents above 500, both of them. Four games of playoff matchups, playoff teams from last year. And number five is one of those matchups from between playoff teams from last year, Ravens and Vikings. Ooh. Ravens are 3-5. Vikings are 4-4. Both need to win in the worst way. And the Ravens, unbelievably, due to the old next-gen stats, would you believe that according to the old next-gen stats, they have a 48% chance of winning their division at 3-5, but the Vikings at 4-4 have a 5% chance of winning theirs. It's weird, but the bottom line is keep winning. Certainly, if you're trying to be like the Ravens to go from 1-5 to 4-5 and keep track with a Steelers team that later on that night might win in Los Angeles or be 5-4 and be in the mix. And then you got the Vikings at 4-4, big win. How will J.J. McCarthy look against John Harbaugh? We all know he missed the game against Jim. He's against John, who, by the way, is 52-18 when facing a starting quarterback in his first or second season. Ooh. That's a pretty damn good record. And quarterbacks making one of their first 10 career starts against Lamar Jackson are 0-12. Nobody making any of their first 10 career starts facing off against Lamar Jackson have won the game. Hmm. So let's see what happens in this one. Number four is the aforementioned Steelers-Chargers game. Would you believe it is the first matchup between Aaron Rodgers and Justin Herbert? They've never played in the same game against one another. Hmm. If you remember Herbert last year, was it last year who had that ankle injury against the Steelers in Pittsburgh? I forget. He seems to have a high ankle injury every year, thankfully, yeah. Except this one. And Rodgers has never beaten Jim Harbaugh. He's 0-4 against Harbaugh, 0-2 in the regular season, 0-2 in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, Harbaugh is one of two head coaches that Rodgers has zero wins against despite starting three or more games against them, including the playoffs. The only other one is Bruce Arians. He went 0-4 against him. And the Chargers, as we all know, want to keep pace with the Broncos since they've already beaten them. And then the Steelers want to stay ahead of the Ravens. And also, can they build off of that defensive performance from last week against the Colts? Was that for real? Is that them turning into a Steelers defense that we're used to seeing? Can't wait to see this one. That's on NBC Sunday Night Football, number three on the list. This is good stuff. You're going to like this, Christopher. Patriots and the Bucks.
Let's go.
7-2 New England.
Love it.
6-2 Tampa Bay. This is the first game the Patriots have played with them being at least five games over 500 and an opponent four games over 500. It's been a while, Chris. Last time it happened was week 16, 2019, when the Patriots at 11-3 beat the Bills at 10-4. And that's how they clinched the AFC East in Brady's last year. It was Tom Brady's 249th and final win as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. Because as we all know, they didn't win the rest of the regular season, and Mike Vrabel won and done them with the Titans. Yep. It's the first game between a Patriots team five games above 500 and opponents four games above 500 in week 10 or earlier since their undefeated regular season of 2007, week 9, when they beat the Colts. 24-20. The Colts were undefeated at 7-0. The Patriots were 8-0. So in other words, it's been a long time since the Patriots were this good record-wise, taking on another team this good record-wise. And fascinatingly enough, it is the matchup between Tom Brady's Super Bowl winning franchises. Right. It is wild. The Patriots and Bucks are one of only two franchise pairs to share a Super Bowl winning starting quarterback. The other is Denver and Indianapolis, right, with Peyton Manning. So here's a good one. Drake May versus Baker Mayfield is the first matchup post Brady in both franchises to face off against one another. Do you know who the first matchup of Colts versus Denver was after Manning retired?
Well, Andrew Luck.
Correct.
Brock Osweiler?
Incorrect.
You Tim want to, Tebow.
No. Trevor Siemian.
Oh, gosh.
Trevor Siemian won the football game.
Wow.
So, could Baker do it? Of course. He's home, and he's Baker freaking Mayfield. And It's the first time since the first week of this century that the Patriots-Buccaneers matchup doesn't feature Tom Brady as a starting quarterback for either one of the teams. Week 1, 2000, Drew Bledsoe versus Sean King in Foxborough Stadium.
Amazing.
Of course, they're both the two seeds in their conference, and neither the Patriots nor the Buccaneers have been a top two seed in their conference since Tom Brady left their respective franchises. Hmm. That's on the line, if you will. The winner gets a better leg up at the two seed or even the one seed in their conference. Bucks coming off a bye. Patriots having won six in a row. That's a good one. Number two on the list, Rams and 49ers. Rams. Christopher, do you remember when I was doing Thursday Night Football on the road and the Rich Eisen show went on the road because DirecTV and Christopher J. Long, the grandfather of all of us around here, decided to send a satellite truck on the road, and whenever it wasn't stolen from the parking lot beforehand, like it was in Miami, we would do the show from there.
It was great. I think we were there for a Color Rush game.
We were there for not only a Color Rush game, we were there for the first ever matchup between the new head coaches of the franchises, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan.
Wow.
And we were looking at that final score of 41-39 saying, crazy. Could you imagine if this is the way it goes?
That was awesome.
Well, it really hasn't been too many points a palooza. As a matter of fact, last year when the Rams swept the 49ers in the regular season, after the 49ers swept the Rams in the four previous regular seasons, the final score of that game was 12-6 last week, 15 on a Thursday night. Only win of Sean McVay's now nine-year tenure in which the Rams didn't score a touchdown. Last time they faced at all was a Thursday night in week five when the banged-up Niners were starting Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne and CMC and hardly anybody else, and it was a 26-23 overtime thriller. I can't wait for this. It's 6-3 versus 6-2. Niners win this one and sweep the Rams. That is a massive leg up for the San Francisco 49ers. Rams win this one. They split the series. Each one draw blood in each other's house. And the Seattle Seahawks are hosting the Cardinals at the same time. NFC West action, baby. We're starting to see it. I can't wait for that. But number one, as we all know, is the Monday night game on the ESPN family of networks. Eagles coming off a bye, taking on the Packers, coming off of a stunning home loss to the Carolina Panthers. And when the Packers lost to the Panthers and the Lions lost to the Vikings and the Buccaneers were sitting on their bye week, Eagles just sat back on their bye week and went to the top of the conference.
Yeah, they won the bye.
The defending NFC champs enter this game number one in conference play, or at least enter this week. We'll see if any of the 6-2 teams win to overtake the Eagles prior to this game. And as we all know, they faced each other last year in week one in Brazil. They faced each other last year in the divisional and the wild card round of the playoffs when the Eagles took care of business against the Packers and won and done them. But as we all know, they faced off against one another with the Packers getting 21 others to face off with the Eagles in the owners' meeting room, where they tried to ban the tush push. True. We had a Eagles fan call in during the offseason, non-playing season, when we were doing the win-loss game to say, hey, who wins, who loses in your team? One Eagles fan said not only would the Eagles win this game, they would win by the final score of 22-10 to mimic the final vote total that barely got rid of the tush push. So that's my top games of week number.
Yeah, one more.
Sure,
I
why
not?
Not
know this.
That's my boy. I'll give you one real quick here. It's the Sunday morning game. It's the first of four windows of football. Sauce Gardner's first game against the Colts. How will they rebound in that dreadful loss in Pittsburgh? And the Falcons have their backs against the wall, man. They're 3-5. They can ill afford to lose another one if they want to not only win their division, but outside of that, I mean, everybody else has got six wins trying to go for a wild card spot. The Lions are 5-3. The Bears are 5-3. You've got a 5-win Carolina Panther team in front of them in division. They got to win this one. Tune in NFL Network first thing up, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. That's my top five matchups of week 10 presented by Hyundai. Let's take a break. Woody Harrelson, baby. Great celebrity, true or false. Cheers. So much more. Kingpin coming up.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. He's never appeared on this program, but that's about to end. Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Available in theaters nationwide Friday, November 14th. We talked about it with Morgan Freeman last week. Now let's welcome in Woody Harrelson on The Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Woody?
Hi, Rich. Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I think we, you hear this all the time, I'm sure. We met briefly, et cetera, et cetera. We met briefly at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. I think you were at that game, right? Between the Patriots and the Rams in Atlanta, Woody?
That's right. Yeah. I've only been to the one.
That's
so,
it?
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask you if you had a rooting interest in the National Football League at all. Or you just interested, hey, I'm in Atlanta. I can go to the Super Bowl. Let's go.
Well, because at the time I was living in Lebanon, Ohio, I formed an attachment to the, you know, to the Bengals. But I mean, I don't watch it enough to, you know, there's real fans out there.
Sure.
So I can't. But I do like the Bengals.
OK, so you were just in Atlanta. You can get to go to the Super Bowl and you just said, screw it. I'll go to the Super Bowl. Let me just check it out. Pretty much.
That's right. And I brought my daughter. Yeah.
Is it? I thought I saw you sitting with Danny DeVito. I thought I saw you, like you and Danny were watching the game together. No? Am I wrong on that one?
That sounds entirely possible. I know I was with Will Smith too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was quite the scene for sure. Let's talk about your film here. Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Again, available in theaters nationwide on Friday, November 14th. Did you think when you did the first one that this would be a franchise that's now in its third version? Woody?
Well, no, I don't think anybody could possibly imagine that kind of thing. We're just super fortunate. And, you know, the movies, fortunately, are very, very entertaining.
Well, I mean, for sure. And I'm wondering, like, have you formed any bonds, friendships of just seeing these folks again? That must have been fun for you, because it does look like you're having a blast shooting this movie, Woody.
I think I've done more projects with Jesse Eisenberg than anybody. I love Jesse. I love Dave Franco. Love Isla.
You got Morgan
Freeman. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. You know, I it's just like, I got to say, it's a great group of people. And luckily, you know, my buddy Ruben Fleischer, who, you know, I met originally when we did Zombieland, and, you know, then he did Venom. And, you know, we've worked on several things together. And I just feel so fortunate that he came on to do the third one. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can get lucky with the first one and maybe the second one, but then, like, by the third one, who knows if you're going to have a good movie. So I felt blessed to have him, and I think he made a wonderful film. Really very entertaining.
It's coming up again. Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Back for you to enjoy in theaters nationwide next week on Friday, November 14th. Woody Harrelson here on The Rich Eisen Show. Woody, with somebody like yourself with so many credits, TV and movies, we have a segment on this show called Celebrity True or False, where we ask you about certain things that are on the internet about the how you got these movies or anything that happened on the set, to see if they're true or false. So I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind indulging us right here on the program. And we have some great production value for you as well. If you can roll it, hit it, please.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, I guess that's a good one to start with.
Jack Nicholson.
That's exactly right. Is it true that he taught you how to smoke for a movie, Woody, after you met him?
Oh, that is. That's true? Very true.
Okay.
Yeah, for Rampart.
Okay. And you met him.
He was telling me all the times you would smoke and how to smoke, like how to do it, you know, like the way you hold it and everything. And I started because I don't smoke anything legal. So I just started smoking joints, you know, as if they were cigarettes.
Yes.
And so I got to where it looked more and more like I actually smoked, which my character did in Rampart.
So Jack...
Jack helped me a lot on
that. So I was about to say, like, what did he teach you about how to hold a cigarette, pretty much? Or no?
How to hold it, and then particularly when you smoke, which felt like you smoke after everything, you know? I mean, well, you got to smoke after you eat. You got to, you know, like he had all these times that you would smoke and, you know, the way that you would hold it in your mouth if you were keeping it in your mouth. I don't know. He was very helpful.
You met him on Anger Management, I imagine. Is that where you met Jack?
No. I met him many years before that.
Okay.
And had a lot of, you know, it was just from knowing him and, well, Adam Sandler as well, that they asked me to do that very fun cameo.
Woody Harrelson. All right, let's start with some other celebrity true or false. True or false, you landed the part of Woody on Cheers in part because the casting director loved how you blew your nose walking into the audition. Is that true?
Well, in fairness, it is true, Rich. I was, you know, Laurie Openden was the casting person at the time for NBC, and I came in very late in the process. In fact, they'd already kind of settled on someone, but they're just in case, you know, we'll see some stragglers. So I came in, and what had happened was I was away from this play, Biloxi Blues. I was doing this movie called Wildcats with Goldie Hawn, and so that put me in L.A. We mostly shot in Chicago, finished in L.A., so I'm in L.A. A friend mentions this show to me, a friend I'd gone to college with, Leo Jeter, and he says to me, hey, I just auditioned for this show, Cheers, and I think you should audition for it. The part's called Woody. And I'm like, well, and from Indiana, which is where we'd gone to college. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really wanting to do television. Well, anyway, so I go in, and I meet her, and they had just fired the two guys I was understudying, so I was going back to do Broadway, which was my dream. So, see, the problem with auditions is you're just too scared and too desperate.
Mm.
You know, actors generally get like this. It's hard to circumvent. But anyway, in this case, I'm going to do Broadway. That's my dream. I don't care. If I get it, okay, great. If not... So I go in and audition, and of course I did pretty good. And Laurie Openden's like, can you come with me? And yeah, sure. You know, so I'm following her, and it seemed kind of labyrinthian, you know. We kind of seemed to be going through this door and down this hallway. And so I didn't know that we were walking into the room with all the creators of Cheers and, you know,
wow,
all the writers and everything. And so as we're walking through the door, my nose was kind of, and I just honked as I'm going in the room, and the whole place burst out laughing. It was the room with everybody, and Jimmy Burrows told me later, you had the part right then.
Wow. Okay. You got a good George Wendt story then, Woody? You got a good one about him with Norm or anything like that? You hanging with him?
George Wendt?
Yeah. You got a good one?
Yeah, I do remember one time. Speaking of memory, I was with, you know, I thought we were done filming. This is the first time I realized that marijuana does not go well with acting. And I thought we were wrapped. And I went upstairs, and me and G are smoking a joint.
Mm.
And then I hear over the intercom, Woody, come down for your monologue in scene C. And I'm like... I go down, and what would have taken one time, easy.
Yeah.
One, two, three, Jimmy Burrows. Woody, are you okay? Yeah, fine, Jim. let's just do another. And so, yeah, we had to do like probably 10 takes before I got it. You know, it's It because it turns into paranoia, what normally might be euphoria.
Yes, sir. I got you. Woody Harrelson here on Celebrity True or False. All right. Oh, there you go. You got the part. There you go. See, we just saw it in person. Next up, on the set of White Men Can't Jump, true or false, you bragged about your basketball playing to one of the coaches on the set who challenged you to a game of one-on-one, and that coach turned out to be Bob Lanier. Is that true? Turned out to be Bob Lanier?
Well, he was one of the guys coaching us, but I don't remember if I've played one-on-one with him.
Well, I imagine you'd remember that pretty much.
Well, you know, I probably did. I mean, I was – any chance I got, I was constantly challenging people and trying to – and but I can't imagine I did well.
Okay, so then let me ask you this one. Also on White Men Can't Jump, true or false, you bet Wesley Snipes you could dunk – and had the rim lowered without Snipes knowing to win the bet. Is that true or false, Woody Harrelson?
That's partially true.
Okay.
The rim was already at 9.5 feet. The problem was even at 9.5.
Yes.
I couldn't stuff it. And then the lady who was the boom, who was doing the boom operator, you know, she says to me, hey, why don't you stretch? And Wes had gone to his trailer, right? And by the way, we had been betting small sums,
yes.
And I kept not being able to stuff it. And so he went to his trailer, and she says, stretch. And I started stretching. And then I picked up the ball, stuffed it first time. And I'm like, oh, my God. He comes back, and he's still kind of smug in the certain knowledge that I have no chance to stuff it. And mm-hmm. We bet a little bit, and I miss and miss. And then I'm like, you know what? I know I can do this. I'll bet you $1,000. And he goes, oh, yeah, and shakes my hand. And then I went up, boom, stuffed it. And to my dying days, I will remember the look on his face. Like he just couldn't believe it. And it was very satisfying.
Oh, my God. I love that story, man. So you collected, obviously. Woody.
Of course.
Okay. Just make sure. Next up, true or false, Woody Harrelson. You took the role of Roy Munson in Kingpin because you lost a bet playing pool with your former roommate and director, Peter Farrelly. Is that true?
Okay. That's another partially true.
Okay.
That it wasn't, it didn't have anything to do with Kingpin. Yeah, he was my roommate at the time.
Okay.
But he was an untried director before doing Dumb and Dumber, and he wanted me to play one of the parts in Dumb and Dumber, Jeff's part.
Okay.
Before they cast Jeff. And I said, well, dude, I'll tell you what, let's play a game of pool. He was a better pool player. And I said, if you win, I'll do the part. So it comes down to all the balls are off the table, only the 8-ball left, and I had a really difficult, had to cut it, you know, that I had, you know, the cue ball here, I had to cut it all the way over into the corner pocket. Never been so sad to win. Never been so sad to win. What a mistake that was. But anyway, it turned out great, and I don't think I could have done as well as Jeff, by the way.
Well, listen, but you took the role in Kingpin, which is my favorite Farrelly Brothers movie. I mean,
thank you.
Oh, it's a fact. It's an absolute fact. And the final scenes with Bill Murray, with Big Earn McCracken, with him with his, you know, his fake weave, yeah. is just laugh out, his comb over, is his laugh out loud funny. Is it true he ad-libbed the entire final scene there at the bowl off in Reno, or no? Woody.
Well, there was a great deal of improvising throughout, and but about that comb over, you know, I did this comb over about the time I had hair,
yes,
and I did a comb over, and I thought, oh, this is so funny, you know, it's so cool, and then he comes in and does the big
swirl,
big amazing, you know. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? But Bill Murray, yeah. Oh, yeah, but he's very dedicated and studious in terms of everything he does. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we'd do a take, and then he'd be sitting down, and he'd have a little pad, and he'd be writing little ideas. And then, so then when we'd go, he'd have all these things that he'd stored up, and just, you know, what was the most difficult part of that was how much the others of us who were in the scene were laughing, which of course spoils the take, but we couldn't stop laughing at the stuff he was doing. He's so funny, man.
I love that movie. I can't tell you enough. Last one for you.
Thank you.
Oh, please, Woody.
I love it too.
It's my favorite Farrelly Brothers movie, and there's so many of them, obviously, that could qualify. Last one for you. True or false, your first reaction to the True Detective script was that it was too dark and needed some light in it.
Well, I don't remember that particularly, but I do know about 2 weeks before we finished filming, I'm with Matthew, and we're doing all the heavy stuff that comes in the eighth episode toward the end, you know, really dark stuff. And I just had a realization, and I turned to Matthew and I said, "Dude, do you realize we're doing horror?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, I think you're right."
Yeah, because it is really, really dark, to say the least. Is it possible you could do that again one more time with Matthew?
Well, I don't see any upside to it. For one thing, until HBO has a change of management, I don't think I'll be working over there. Secondly, I think what we did was really good. And, what else did we, if we come in there, I can only imagine people saying, "Well, boy, that wasn't nearly as good as the first season," you know?
I bet. In the minute I have left with you, Woody, do you have a good Robert Redford story from Indecent Proposal? Way back in the day, may he rest in peace.
Well, I have a great deal of love and fondness for Redford, and I know his daughter Amy, and I think one of the things that just speaks to what an extraordinary guy this was is there was a bill going before Congress to basically open up 6 million acres of wilderness in Montana to the various extractive industries, as the government's prone to do since they're businessmen working for bigger businessmen. And so I was trying to fight this, and it's no small deal to have Robert Redford make a phone call. And when he'd call these senators and congressmen, it was a much different thing than if I called them. And he did. He would make call after call. I'd go to his trailer, "Dude, can you call this guy?"
Yeah.
And he would do it. And he was just such a dedicated environmentalist, such an extraordinary man.
Woody, thanks for the time, man. Like I told you at the beginning, I'm a big fan, and it's great to see you back in this role again. And Now You See Me, Now You Don't, available in theaters nationwide Friday, November 14th, and I'd love to have you here in person if you're ever in Los Angeles, or just meet you, shake your hand. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich. I'll take you up on that.
I appreciate you saying that. Woody Harrelson right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Right back at you.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I love my Sonos system. Susie loves it as well. The kids love it. It's easy for them to use. You pop on the app and you pop on your television, or you pop on some music. You could put one on in one room, one on in the other room, and it sounds amazing, like you're at the game, at the stadium, or at a concert. Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy too. Just plug it in, open the Sonos app, you are ready to go. If you want stadium quality sound at home, just like me, go ahead and explore the soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. All right, listen, crazy week. It began with the Monday Nighter, which the Cowboys lose to the Arizona Cardinals. Last night, we saw what happened between the Broncos and the Raiders in between a massive trade deadline. We talked about the Jets and the Colts and the Jets and the Cowboys trades all week long. This is the last time we'll be discussing it for this week. It's not just because the show's over, but the week is. But Garrett Wilson, the one who was deemed untouchable, spoke about it, and he was asked about if he's on board with all of the moves.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, bro. You know, it's I got to do my job. You know what I'm saying? I get paid to catch passes, block, help my teammates out, make plays. You know what I'm saying? They get paid to do that. No one cares what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go play football. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to go at this thing and chase what they, you know, they have a vision. Like I said, I don't get paid to have a vision. They do. And you know, they got one. And I got to trust them, man. I do.
I am so glad they held on to him. I mean, that's a guy who knows how to win, knows how to catch. You need somebody like him. You don't trade people like him. You don't usually trade people like Sauce either. But he also has a four-year, $130 million deal that he signed. At the same time, Sauce signed his four-year deal. Yep. And I'm wondering if the same language that was in there to allow it to be tradable for the Sauce contract is in there for Garrett. We don't have to know because he's still a Jet.
Yep.
Also, did you notice that he went a little higher register at the beginning of that when he was asked about whether he was all aboard the plan? I think do we have a drop?
I mean, yeah, bro.
Yeah, he went higher register and he caught himself.
Well, yeah, we're good.
Yeah. We have a new drop, I think.
I mean, yeah, bro.
He went higher register and I think caught himself. I believe in the plan.
No, we got it.
He's just sort of like, you know, I think he went from, I am a young Turk as great as I am on this team that's in a lot of flux. But although, wait a minute, I do have that four-year, $130 million contract that they gave me and they did deem me out of everybody untouchable. That's how you go from higher register to lower register.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, bro.
Maybe he got a bank alert in the middle of that and it was like, your direct deposit has gone through.
Is that the... also the verbalization, the verbal version of the famed Alonzo GIF where he's shaking his head and nodding his head. Like, could we put that on top of the GIF and see if it matches?
Probably would.
What do you think?
That's pretty funny.
You got it? Let's see if I'll try it. Does he shake his, does he not, he shakes his head first and then nods
his head,
right?
He's angry.
All right, hold on a second. Let me try it. You play it. Ready?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, bro.
It works.
Yep. Has Alonzo ever said what he was thinking during that moment?
What made him say, I don't understand, but I understand it. I don't get it, but I understand it. That's it.
That's perfect.
That's the verbal version of it.
It's like, I know you lying. We'll continue.
I respect it.
Go ahead, keep it up.
But the drop of the week, the new I know what you, I know what the drop of the week is, and I think you do too. Even though you're fresh, go ahead and hit it. What do you think it is?
What's up, Trevor?
That's it.
I think the best part of that visually is because he's berating this guy over here, and then he does a quick turn. Like a four, and he's like, "What's up, Trevor?"
Yeah, he transitioned himself off his own rant.
It's amazing.
Unreal. So much to talk about over the weekend. Who knows what's going to happen next week? We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.